Romans chapter 12. Beginning in verse 1. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I've always referred to and thought of Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, as a bridge from theology to obedience, a bridge from analysis into action. Christians spend a good deal of their time studying and reading, and those that do will grow, they'll learn. But we have to move from theology to action, from theology to service, from analysis to action. It's very important that we do that. It is what God looks for in us, this living sacrifice. Verse 10 in the same chapter, Paul gives some very specific instructions about how we ought to behave ourselves amongst one another. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. And the key verse tonight, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Given to hospitality. Now, hospitality is something that we have lost, I think, the meaning of. We have a nice meaning for it, but I think I want to put this for you in the context of the early church. The first Christians viewed themselves as part of a worldwide family, and they knew that they were the persecuted minority in the world. C.S. Lewis said, "Little pockets of early Christians survived because they cared for exclusively and loved the brethren and stopped their ears of the pagan opinions of the pagan society around them." Now, I want you to think of this for a minute. Hospitality, therefore, became one of the most important, significant, and practical expressions of the worldwide family of God. And I will say this. They survived because of hospitality. They would not have survived as the early church had they not had cared for one another with this ministry of hospitality. This became one of the birthmarks of early Christianity, hospitality. Now, I remember I was at a conference one time and they were talking about the different ministries of the church and different ministries that people have. And some were elevated quite highly. And then, if you couldn't do anything spiritual, you would do hospitality. And nothing could be further from the truth. People with a ministry of hospitality do an incredible work for God in the church. They do. This word for hospitality means being a lover. Literally, the word contains that word philos in it, of brotherly love, loving strangers, loving guests. It is literally loving your guests. That's what hospitality is. Everybody understand that? Loving your guests. Now, I've done a lot of studying in the last year and a half of the hospitality sector of the economy and how many of these great hotel chains and restaurants, how they have been cutting edge in customer service and serving people. And it doesn't compare to what this word means. Today, acts of kindness are so rare that the news treats them as miracles. Look, someone will do a simple act of kindness and it'll make news. News. What's that all about? Hospitality and the ministry of hospitality can be the very thing that saves your life. Not just because people will be hospitable to you, but because in hospitality, you become selfless. In hospitality, you give your space, you give your energy, you give your treasures to people. Hospitality is an amazing picture of Christ's life in the church. At 16 years old, when my father passed away, I had begun to hear the gospel and I started responding. And Clark and Chris took me to this thing called the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship International. It was a ministry. They did it once a month. It was a Saturday evening dinner. They'd gather. You would bring a guest. Members would bring a guest. Every one of these I went to, there were always as many guests as members. There were always, people always brought a guest. It was amazing. And there would be at these dinners between 50 and 75 people. Simple dinner at a nearby restaurant. There'd be a guest speaker. One of the speakers was a truck driver named Joe Cuzzone. And Joe Cuzzone was this Italian guy, had a big bushy mustache. And he was this big burly guy. And he was a bully, and he at one point in his life he was an alcoholic, and Christ touched his life, and he was this big, tender teddy bear, Joe Cuzzone. You've heard me say his name. The reason why I've said his name in my house is because of this. When Joe found out from Chris that my father died, he was just a Christian friend of theirs, he began to come over to my house on Saturday and come and knock on the door, and he'd have a little bag of coffee, fresh coffee, or he'd come over with some donuts. And he would sit with me and my mother and just talk for 20 minutes, and then he would excuse himself. And he did this for 3 or 4 months, every Saturday. Maybe missed a couple in between there. You know what that was? Hospitality. Hospitality. It was amazing. As a single guy growing up in the Lord, Chris and Clark opened their home to me. I never needed an invite. I would show up at the house at night, and they would do whatever they were doing, I was then doing. And they repeatedly told me, you never need to say when you're coming. If the car's in the driveway, you feel free to come over here. If you need us, we're here for you. Hospitality. unconditional hospitality. Back in Rome, New York, we bought a piece of property, had 7 acres of land on it. It was a barn and a three-family house. We paid $75,000 for it. I remember the closing. We had bought this property, and we began to fix the place up and all that. And that house, they thought maybe some of the guys from the Air Force, if they want to rent, live in the house, they could live in the house. And the pastor was going to live in the house, in one of the apartments. So Rick and Sheila and his family lived downstairs. Me and Marty Riopel lived in the front apartment. And Bill and Debbie Resnick lived in the top floor of the second apartment. And so being a single guy, every couple nights, open the door, Sheila, I got spaghetti and meatballs in there, it'll blow your mind. Off I went. Sunday, we're making a turkey. Be here at 1 o'clock. And I would go, and we would pray, and we would eat, and we would talk. And Chris and Kim Pruitt would come over, and there'd be a bunch of people just packed in that house. Hospitality. Saved my life. I went up to, you've maybe heard this, I went up to Plattsburgh. I was TDY up there, struggling like crazy. Richard Spearman, the chaplain up there, brought me to the bowling alley, brought me lunch at the bowling alley. What was that? Hospitality. See, hospitality. Literally, I want you to look at this 1 Peter 4 for a minute, and you'll see there's one version and a commentary to it that I really loved, this simple phrase. 1 Peter chapter 4. Starting in verse 7 says, "The end of all things is at hand. Therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love." Look at this, folks. "Have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins." Look at verse 9. "Be hospitable to one another without grumbling." Hospitable. Philoxenos is the Greek word. And it literally means the use of one commentary said it means to use hospitality. To use hospitality. Interesting way of saying it. To use hospitality. I love that. Now, we talked about the gospel Sunday, sharing the gospel with people, how we do that with our testimony. We share our story. That woman at the well, she didn't have any theological training, but she went out and told her story. Those two blind men who got their sight back, they didn't have any Bible college training. They just went out and they told their story. Every one of you has a story. But you know what else this is saying? Another tool we can use is not only our story with people, but we can use hospitality to win people to Christ. And to use hospitality, even more importantly in this context, to minister to one another. How can I minister to that family? Use hospitality to do it. You know? Use hospitality. Hebrews chapter 13, another place where it's mentioned. "Let brotherly love continue." Let brotherly love continue. That's every time you see hospitality, you'll see something about brotherly love. "Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers." That word is philoxenia. It's a derivative of philoxenos, which is the word for hospitality. So it's saying, let brotherly love continue, and do not forget to use that brotherly love for guests. 13, Roger. 13:1. Yep. "Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to use hospitality. For by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels." Now, Let me make a little comment about that. Now, this could be in reference to Abraham's visit of the two angels, but I think there's something even a little bit more practical and probably even a little bit more exciting for you and I than that. Everyone we come across, literally, and we have a, Karen and I have a little thing we call divine appointments. I have a bunch of appointments on my calendar. If you look at, sometimes I look at my calendar, I get sick to my stomach. There's just so much stuff on there, you know. There's other people that have worse calendars than I do. But you look at the calendar, you say, I got to see a lot of people today. But then, you know, those people that are scheduled, God is bringing those to you, aren't they? How many believe God is probably bringing those to you? Five people, good. The rest of you are heathens. How many believe God is bringing those? There you go. What about the walk-ins and the people that come out of the blue? Those could also be. You know what else they could be? Distractions sent from the devil, too. So you got to be careful with those. But here's the thing. This word angelos or aglos means messenger. Doesn't necessarily mean, you know, angels with the wings. It means messengers. So by using hospitality, you could be entertaining a messenger that God would show you something through. Isn't that interesting? They could be a messenger God sent to you to give you a little message. Maybe it's encouragement for you. Maybe it's something God wants to address in your life. Maybe that messenger is us. Paul had a messenger in his life. How many can remember the messenger Paul had in his life? Anybody remember? Was it a good messenger? Was it a good witch or a bad witch? Was it a good messenger or a bad messenger? In 1 Corinthians 12, what was it? The thorn in the flesh. Literally a demon was sent to teach Paul something. So use hospitality. Why? Because you may be entertaining a messenger in your own life. So not only is hospitality going to save somebody else's life, I can tell you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, Joe Cuzon saved my life. I can tell you that Chris and Clark, with their hospitality, saved my life. I can tell you Richard Spearman came in a time in my life. He saved my life. Rick and Sheila, God bless them, they saved my life. Mark and Barbara saved my life. They came at times, and they opened up their homes, and they welcomed me. Ted and Faith Clark, hospitality. I moved here. And I've told you this story many times. I was invited over to a very beautiful home in Waterloo, Walnut Street, and I got there, and the table was set like the Queen of England was coming to have dinner there. And if you know me, you know how neat I eat. So you know how nervous I get when I get a little bit nervous when it's just like that. It's perfect. I mean, how many have ever seen that that program on the BBC, Keeping Up Appearances? Have you ever seen that movie? Hyacinth, right? With the periwinkle glass, you know, she'll get everything that's measured from the edge of the table and all that. This looked like, I don't know if Bonnie used the ruler or not, but she eyeballed it. She did a great job. I was quite nervous about it, and I decided, being the genius that I am, that I would have cranberry juice at this dinner to drink, or some red, I don't know what the heck it was. It was dark juice or something. And she had, of course, a white tablecloth. Well, you know what's going to happen, right? Boink. Just like that woman in Keeping Up Appearances who comes over all the time and spills her tea all over the place. That was me. Just dumped it right on the table. So Bonnie, without skipping a beat, takes her napkin, comes over, looks at me, puts the napkin down, pats it, and keeps talking like nothing happened. The table setting made me feel like a king. It said volumes about her appreciation. It made me feel good that my family was being treated that way. The food was fantastic, and they didn't serve hot dogs. You could tell that they put thought into it and energy into it, and it spoke volumes to me. But you know, the other thing that spoke volumes to me was the fact that even though she knew I might have been a little nervous and a little out of my element, she didn't make me feel uncomfortable. Larry did, but she didn't make me feel uncomfortable. You know what that is? That's a gift of hospitality. This church was in a home that was opened for Bible study. And that home was open for 2 years, every night. Every Thursday night, I think. Well, a year and a half. Hospitality. They were hospitable. They loved the bread. They opened up their home, made a sacrifice. Hospitality. See? Hospitality. Use hospitality. Say, I'm not a great speaker. So what? Use hospitality. I don't know the Bible, though. It doesn't matter. Use hospitality. How do I win people to Christ? I just told you. Use hospitality. See? How many of you have a neighbor that you could invite over in the next month and feed them? Easy. Use hospitality. How many can look around the room? We have people in our church, single people, single moms. I bet you moms would need a break. I can remember when we first moved in, we were over at the on Santa Commander Drive, and what was her name? The Gambies. Remember the Gambies, Jason? She made an apple pie. I'd never had an apple pie like that in my life. Brought it over. She brought it over, and she didn't just bring me an apple pie. Here's what she brought. She brought the apple pie. It was on a cutting board or in some kind of a container you could cut it. She brought the knife. It was covered with a beautiful apple cloth, and she brought the ice cream and napkins. She brought the whole thing. Hospitality. Me, I bring over, like, you know, I go to Wegmans, pie, you know. It was warm. It was ready to go. Had everything with it. See, that's hospitality. See? So when you're thinking about people, let's say, John, you like to grill. Hospitality. What guy doesn't like grilled food? Hospitality. You know, the stouts every year, strawberry thing. I think it should be quarterly, but we'll go for annually at this point. Hospitality, right? This is in Luke chapter 10. Was literally the blueprint for evangelism. They'll go to a house, they'll enter it. This is Luke chapter 10, verse 5. And they'll bring peace. They'll say peace to the house. If a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. In other words, Christ was encouraging not only these guys to go, but for people to be hospitable. They advanced the gospel through hospitality. It was an indispensable service for the Lord's messengers. I can't imagine in heaven we're going to meet Peter and James and John and Matthew and others, and then we're going to meet the people that they stayed in their houses. And I bet you're going to hear the same stories about the Joe Cuzones and the Chris and Clarks and the Rick and Sheilas from Peter, James, and John as you hear tonight from each of us. We all have those stories. They were an indispensable part in the spreading of the gospel. In 3 John, verses 5 through 8, brethren, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well. Look at that. This is literally being sent forward in a manner worthy of God, supported and cared for and fed and encouraged and rested up and ready to go. We can do that for one another and send each other out. It's amazing. Because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles, we therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth. Luke chapter 14, you go back a little bit again. when you give a dinner or a supper, Luke 14:12, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, your rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. And you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. This is such a practical vehicle for ministry, hospitality. Anybody with space can do it. And anybody who can bring something to someone else's space can do it. This isn't just for the gourmet cooks, the folks with perfect homes, or perfect children. To be hospitable refers to our reception and our treatment of others and has little to do with your culinary skills. Everybody understand that? I had when we were in Liberia, there were a group of pastors we were ministering to, and I thought that we'd try something, and because I wanted to just have them over to feed them. I wanted to be hospitable. So I told Pastor Bestman I wanted to make a dinner. He said, go ahead, make it. So I went and I got cans of sauce and paste and garlic and some meat. And I made a meat sauce and cooked it all day, a little bit of pork in it, and just let it sit, simmer. Oh, it was driving me nuts all day long. And then I got some spaghetti and some stuff for salads. And I had five or six of the pastors over. And one of them came in, and he looked at the plate, and he leaned over and he said, why would you invite pastors over for fufu? And what fufu is it's basically a paste that poor people eat. That was one pastor's reaction, totally ungrateful. Now, if I had known culturally what that meant to some of them, I would have never made spaghetti. But Pastor Martin, Pastor Andrew, who you met, Ephel, who you met, and who was the other one you met? Andrew, Ephel, Josephus was there, and the other one who was here. Oh, it's going to drive me crazy now. They visited. They were here. They leaned over, and they couldn't thank me enough. They were so grateful and thankful that I made them an American dish. So, he's just very, very sweet. But you know what? It was a simple thing to do. And they remembered it. Use hospitality. Amen? Tell you, you want to reach people? This is the way to do it. Tim and Kathy, for years, had young people over their house probably on a nightly basis. You go over there, they'd cook them something, they'd feed them, they'd sit, they'd talk to them. They used hospitality. I think it's underutilized in our church, especially for ministry. I think we're very hospitable to one another. If you've ever gone to a men's meet thing or a Super Bowl party at the Martins or over to Cases for dinner or the Stouts or Kathy, whoever, everybody's been very hospitable. But boy, we could really think about what we could do with people that are outside in terms of hospitality and really minister to them. Another way to use hospitality, I was thinking about this, and I'd like to ask the Habitat folks, give us a date that we can come, that we can plan to go, and help with a house. Boy, nothing would be more hospitable than helping someone build their house. That's pretty hospitable, don't you think? But to have a date ahead of time, 4 or 5 weeks, we can plan it, and then show up and be there. That way it's not a last-minute thing. It'd be very good. Use hospitality. I hope your wheels are turning. How many of you think you got, how many of your wheels are turning now? Maybe you think you could invite somebody over. How many think that? Anyway, one person, great. I've had a great impact tonight. What a great message. Anybody else? Good. Make a little list. Write it in your Bible. Write it on your notes tonight. Think of a couple people. Who can I invite over that I haven't seen in a while? Or maybe someone out. It doesn't have to be outside. It could be someone in the church. But somebody outside. Just invite them over. Maybe it's a coffee or it's dessert on a Sunday afternoon. Or it's a Sunday evening pot of pasta. I'll tell you what, people love spaghetti. Everybody likes to eat spaghetti. People love pizza. It doesn't have to be, Bonnie did that because that's her thing. And, you know, she's like, that's when you master stuff, you do your best. But, I mean, pizza, spaghetti. Get a chicken from Tops. You feed five people with one of those things. You know? Okay, maybe two chickens. All right? Let's close. Father, we want to thank you tonight for the Word of God. Such a practical thing for us to do. This wasn't a deep message tonight. It's just, hey, let's use hospitality, Father, and be hospitable, not be afraid to be hospitable, and to just try some things. Maybe there's folks in the community, contractors, friends, neighbors, someone we bought something from recently, a salesman we met at the mall, whoever, it doesn't matter, anybody. People at work, coworkers. Father, give us creative ideas. Help us really think this out and to just be hospitable. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.